ISKCON BIBITI FOUNDER ACHARJA SHILA PRABHUPADA KI JAI NITI LILOM VISHNU PABADA MANDAVADA BRAJA GACHARJA ASTA TILASATRA SHISHI MADHAS DAVANGESHILA HOKTI SIDDHANTA SARASATI GAUSHAMI PRABHUPADA KI ANANTA KOTI VAISHNAVINDA KI NAMA CHARJA SHILA HADIDAS THAKUR KI BRINJA GAHOSI KISHNA CHAITANA VABUNDITANANDA SI ADVAITA GADAD HARSI VASADI GAU BHAKTA VINDA KI SI SI Radha Krishna Go Gopinath Shama Kunda Radha Kunda Gidi Govardhan Ki Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Sri Mathura Dham Ki Sri Mayapur Navadip Dham Ki Jamuna Devi Ki Ganga Devi Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Tulsi Devi Ki Samveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Sankirtan Yajna Ki Sri Nubarshana Dham Ki Sisi Gornitai ki, Sisi Radha Giridhari ji ki, Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi ki, Go Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the Sambhu devotees, all glories to the Sambhu devotees, all glories to the Sambhu devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We have been reading from Sri Brihat Bhagavatamrita with the commentary of Srila Sanatan Goswami included in what our translation commentary is by our dear godbrother Gopi Puranadana Prabhu. Today we are going to recite text 3, which is where? There, okay, you all see it. Text 3. Sva Dahita Nija Bhavam Yo Vibhavya Sva Bhavat Su Maduram Avatirno Bhakta Rupena Lobat Jayati Kanaka Dhamma Krishna Chaitanya Nama Harir Iha Yati Veshaha Sri Sachi Sunur Eshaha Svadaityanijabhavam yovibhavya svabhavat Svadaityanijabhavam yovibhavya svabhavat Sumaduram avatirno bhaktarupena lobhat Sumaduram avatirno bhaktarupena lobhat Jayati Kanaka Dhamma Krishna Chaitanya Nama
Jayati Kanaka Dhamma Krishna Chaitanya Nama
Jayati Kanaka Dhamma Krishna Chaitanya Nama.
Jayati Kanaka Dhamma Krishna Chaitanya Nama.
Harir Iha Yati Vesha Sri Sachi Sunur Esha.
Harir Iha Yati Vesha Sri Sachi Sunur Esha.
Harir Iha Yati Vesha Sri Sachi Sunur Esha.
Harir Iha Yati Vesha.
Sadhaitya ninja bhavam yogi bhavya svabhavat.
Sadhaitya ninja bhavam yogi bhavya svabhavat.
Sumadurama mavatirna bhakta rupena lobhat. Jayati Kanaka Dhamma Krishna Chaitanya Nama.
Jayati Kanaka Dhamma Krishna Chaitanya Nama.
Harir Iha Yati Vesha Sri Sachi Sunur Esha.
Harir Iha Yati Vesha Sri Sachi Sunur Esha.
Someone can chant.
Vadaita Nidya Bhavam Yogi Bhavya Svabhavat.
His own.
His own.
Dahita.
Dahita.
Of the beloved devotees. Nitya. There. Bhavam. Ecstasy. Yaha. Who. Vibhavya. Noticing. Svabhavat. Then his own ecstasy. Sumadurum.
Even
sweeter.
Avatirna.
Has descended. Bhakta. Of his own devotee. Rupena.
In the form.
Lobhat. Out of greed. Jayati. All glorious. Kanaka.
Golden colored.
Dhamma.
With an
effulgence. Krishna Chaitanya. Sri Krishna Chaitanya.
Nama.
Nama.
With the name.
Harihi. To Lord Hari.
Iha.
In this world.
Yati.
Of a renunciate. Vesha. Whose dress. Sri Sachi.
Of Mother Sachi.
Sunuhu. The son.
Esha.
This. Translation and commentary. Realizing that the ecstasy of his beloved devotees is even sweeter than his own. Out of greed, the Lord descended to this world in the form of his own devotee. Dressed as a renunciate, golden in effulgence, he bears the name Sri Krishna Chaitanya. All glories to that Lord Hari, who has appeared as the son of Mother Sachi. Commentary. The doubt raised in the first two verses might again be raised here. How then can you describe this love? Anticipating this question, Srila Sanatana Goswami replies that Sri Chaitanya Dev is the only deliverer of the most fallen and wretched souls. As the Supreme Spiritual Master, he has descended in his most attractive form to distribute the transcendental taste of Sankirtana, the congregational chanting of his own holy names. Srila Sanatana Goswami wants the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and therefore glorifies him in this verse. Greater than Lord Krishna's love for his devotees is the love his most intimate devotees feel for him. Having noted that exceptional sweetness, the Lord wants to taste it. His eagerness drives him to assume the form of his own devoted servant. He then descends to earth in the province of Goda and the city of Navadvip as Sri Sachidevi's beloved son, Gaurasundar, the most beautiful golden form of Sri Krishna. Srila Sanatana Goswami uses the proximate pronoun Eshaha, this, to indicate that Lord Chaitanya was present around the time this book was composed, and that the author thus has the privilege of the Lord's personal association. There's more, but I'll start speaking. It is appropriate to note that a devotee always requires and desires the mercy of his or her superiors. Sanatana Goswami is certainly an exalted personality. He was born in a South Indian Brahmin family, highly qualified. He was fluent in many languages. Still, when he and Srila Rupa Goswami approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they tied a rope around their necks and they took straw in their mouths, and like dumb animals they went before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. From this we should understand that no matter how exalted or great one's birth may be, or one's position in life may be, one has to finally become very much subordinate and humble. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recited Trinad api sini chenor, tadorda api sishinuna, amanena manadena kirtaniya sada hari, that we should be more humble than a straw in the street or a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, and give all respect to others, but not expect any respect for ourselves. Thus we will be able to constantly chant the holy names of the Lord. So Srila Sanatana Goswami very much desires the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is also significant here, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already bestowed his mercy upon Sanatana Goswami by the time this book was written. But still, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Srila Sanatana Goswami still looks forward to receiving further mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In other words, one never becomes proud of one's good fortune. In any situation that one finds oneself in, one always places oneself in a humble mood, praying to one's superiors. Srila Prabhupada makes the point that Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita was very fortunate to hear from Krishna. And we cannot directly hear from Krishna now. Nevertheless, we should not think that we are cut off from Krishna, but that if we connect with Krishna through the cyclic succession, we shall be able to hear from Krishna in the same way as Arjuna heard him. Sanatana Goswami and the other Goswamis also took association and learned from their intimate associates who were close to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For example, we know that Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who followed the six Goswamis, based his Chaitanya Chaitamrita upon the notes of Sri Damodar Goswami, who was Lord Chaitanya's secretary, as well as the notes of and words of Raghunath Das Goswami. So, excuse me, this is the system, and we should follow it in our Krishna consciousness movement. The more we become the servant of the servant, the more we go forward in spiritual life. And therefore, Prabhupada created this society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, just for the sake of giving us the opportunity to serve the Vaishnavas. And we should take full advantage of it. It's not that we should always think that I'm a senior person, and therefore I don't have to do seva. In many temples we see that the Brahmins are the persons who do seva to all of the people who come. They'll serve the prasadam to those who come. Not that they give new bhaktas the prasadam and say, now serve everybody else. Because serving of prasad is not any different than offering the prasad to the deity. It is to be distributed by the pujaris or by the Brahmins. So the senior persons show the example of how to do seva. Then automatically everybody is in the mood of service and learns in a humble way. The name Gaura Sundar. Sundara means beautiful. Beautiful golden form. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken the opportunity, as we explained yesterday, of the Yuga Dharma. In the Kali Yuga, it is said that the same benefit that was derived in Satyug by performance of yoga, etc., in the Treta Yuga, by the performance of big yajnas, in the Dwarpa Yuga, by the worship in temples, is today available in Kali Yuga through the Nam Sankirtan. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes advantage of the Yuga Dharma of chanting of the holy names, but that is said by Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami to be the external purpose of his mission. The internal purpose of his mission is revealed in this verse. Namely, out of greed, he descended to this world to experience the taste of happiness that his devotees feel in service to him. As it is said, greater than the love for his devotees is the love his most intimate devotees feel for him. Greater than the love for his devotees. So, Krishna, now as we are speaking of Krishna here, Krishna observed that the ecstasy of his devotees surpassed his own ecstasy. This seems to be very extraordinary. How can anyone surpass God? If God is Bhagavan, supreme in all opulences, how is it possible that his devotees can excel him? But this is possible by the mercy of the Lord. In other words, the Lord bestows his mercy upon a devotee in such a way that a devotee becomes particularly empowered. The word Shaktyavesha, Shaktyavesha Avatara, is a descent of the Godhead in the form of a particular empowerment in a devotee. Just like we see that there are various Shaktyavesha avatars. Vyasa is considered a Shaktyavesha avatar. He is an empowered person, especially empowered for describing Vedic literature and compiling it and composing it. In the same way, Prabhupada's godbrother gave him the title also of Shaktyavesha avatar. And in fact, when in his last phase of his pastimes, Srila Prabhupada said, let us have some fun, in the sense that it was clear to Prabhupada that his departure was imminent. So he had us consult some astrologers, and one of them did his astrological forecast and declared that he was a Shaktyavesha avatar. And Prabhupada said that there was no exaggeration in his statement. Now this may appear to be a statement of pride on the part of Prabhupada, but Prabhupada was always very practical, and he always used to say, judge something by its result. So practically he himself could see, and he was astonished at how wonderful the achievements were in such a short time. And he was sometimes surprised about it, because he said, no ordinary human being can do this. That means that whatever Prabhupada accomplished was not done by his own effort alone, but by the empowerment of Krishna due to the mercy of his Guru Maharaj. Always due to the mercy of his Guru Maharaj. Prabhupada always gave credit to his spiritual master for whatever he accomplished. We can be broad enough and give credit to more than our spiritual master. I find, just like when I consider about disciples that I have, that it is not possible for me to simply deliver or uplift my disciples single-handedly. But I am very much aware of the fact that my disciples are deriving the utmost benefit not only from their grandfather guru and Shiksha guru, Srila Prabhupada, but from so many other Vaishnavas. And those who are unable to recognize the value that they, or the benefit that they, help that they get from other Vaishnavas beyond their own initiating spiritual master, remain on the neophyte platform. Therefore, we should recognize our guru coming to us in so many different forms. Although we may give glory to our spiritual master, we should understand that the spiritual master comes to us in many forms. If you read the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see that there is a listing of many different types of ways in which a guru can come, in so many instructive ways. And this type of lesson is meant to make us recognize how much mercy we are getting. Sometimes devotees express their misfortune because of some reverse in life due to a decision that they have made. Because after all, we don't suffer without cause. Our philosophy teaches that whatever we undergo, good or bad, we have justly deserved. That is the whole understanding of karma. It is probably the best, it is the best theodicy. I remember in one university course, my atheistic professor said that there was no doubt that the best explanation, theodicy, for the occurrence of evil is the theory of karma and reincarnation. He said that is the most comprehensive explanation. Otherwise, you can't explain why there should be evil in this world. There's evil in this world, or there's cause of suffering due to the misbehavior of the individual soul. Other great sociologists, one sociologist, Max Weber, made the same comment. He also said, this is the best explanation. So, we should also recognize and accept that our suffering is not caused by others. Ultimately, it is caused by our own doing. Nevertheless, Krishna is very merciful. And although we make endless mistakes, just like a good father and good mother, because Krishna means Radha Krishna for us, and so we have our father and mother, they extend to us unlimited mercy. And that mercy comes in so many shapes and forms. So, before you feel too sorry for yourself, you know, for suffering so many different ways, recognize, please, the mercy you're getting. It's not just that prasadam is the mercy that we get. The right to chant the holy name is mercy. What qualification do we have for chanting Krishna's holy name? What qualification do we have? What qualification do we have for seeing the deity on a day-by-day basis? How fortunate we are to be able to go and perform the seva to the deity. How fortunate are we to associate intimately with so many Vaishnavas, when it's so rare to find a Vaishnava in this world? How fortunate are we to be able to read Srimad Bhagavatam? Even more simply, how fortunate are we that in every way the Lord is maintaining us? You're breathing. You're existence is purely the mercy of the Lord. So before we feel ourselves to be unfortunate, we could recognize that there are many ways in which Krishna extends his mercy. Krishna himself becomes overwhelmed by his mercy. He sees the mercy. How does he see the mercy? He sees it in its effect upon his devotees, in the overwhelming effect that he has upon his devotees. The devotees' ecstasy. Specifically, in this case, we know for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he is Krishna himself who has become enamored by the ecstasy of his foremost devotee, Srimati Radhika. And therefore, he, observing her condition of loving ecstasy, they would sit together, and sometimes she would become stunned, talk incoherently. So many types of loving ecstasy that even he could not fathom. He desired her position. And this is Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Krishna himself being covered by the bhav of Srimati Radhika. Krishna inside, Srimati Radhika outside. Gaura Asundar. Gaura Asundar means golden, beautiful golden form. That beautiful golden color is Srimati Radhika's color. So it is very appropriate that we have on our altar the deity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who we worship. Prabhupada said, even if you can't get to worship Radha Krishna in this age, if you just worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you become most fortunate. In fact, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, if you fail to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even if you worship Krishna, you're an aparadhi. He's very strong about this. Now, of course, someone can say, this is his love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that leads him to say that. Whatever you may say, in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami makes some very strong statements about those who fail to worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so we approach first Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But to do so, we have to approach through Nityananda Prabhu. Therefore, Lord Nityananda comes first, and then Chaitanya. And when it was seen that anyone tried to first serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya would correct them and make them serve Nityananda first. So our approach is through Nityananda. And Nityananda is approached through the Goswamis, who are in turn approached through their followers, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and gradually through disciplic line, Narottam Das Thakur, and various acharyas who follow, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and gradually in through down the cyclic succession. So this is how we go. We go through this Guru Parampara. And each time we get more mercy. We get more and more mercy. Because each acharya adds his mercy to the line. So we're very fortunate. It's like a telescope. The more sections you add to the telescope, the closer and closer the image becomes. So each of these acharyas is like a new section on the telescope, and they are revealing more and more in their own way about Sri Krishna. Even if we think it is impossible, but actually it is impossible to know fully Krishna's glories. Yesterday, the statement was made, it is impossible to even understand it. Fragment of the glories of Srimati Radharani. So before we become very proud of our knowledge of Krishna or Radha or any subject, we should understand that the subject matter is unlimited, it's unfathomable. The pastimes of Krishna are continually going on. We only have knowledge of just a few of them. So he wanted to enter into his position. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to take the path of his devotee. He saw everyone else having this fortune. Nityananda Prabhu sees himself as a servant. Baladev. Balaram serves Krishna. All of the mood of seva that is going on for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Dasya Bhakti Ras. It's the way to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's very easily approachable through Dasya Bhakti, through servitude. When we speak about the rasas of Sringara Ras, Vatsalya Ras, Sakya Ras, these are relationships that are possible, but not with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the same way, in the sense that all are told to worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as servants. And when your service to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is perfected, then it becomes possible by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to serve Krishna according to your desire, whatever that may be, whatever rasa that may be. And it is not just whimsical, but it is within our heart. We understand that this relationship with Krishna is eternally present within us. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descends to earth by the prayers of Advaitacharya. He offered Ganges water and tulsi. Very simple offering, Ganga Jal and tulsi leaves. But that was enough. Why? Because it was infused with bhakti. What was Advaitacharya's meditation? His meditation was that the age of Kali has come, and people are so much fallen in this age that unless you, my Lord, come directly, no one can deliver them. Why? Because we want to give them something very special. Advaitacharya, Haridas Thakur, they want to distribute something very special. And therefore, this Namo Mahabhada Naya Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishnaya, Krishna Chaitanya Namini Guritashay Namaha. Only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could come to give what no other avatar had given. that kind of ecstatic loving prema that is found within the heart of Srimati Radhika, her gopikas, friends, and all the other residents of Nandabraja. It is like the, you know, after the conclusion of a story, there's a postscript that is written. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela is like a postscript to Krishna Leela. When Krishna thought something more should be done, beyond what we have done in this time, 5,000 years ago, then he thought there's something further to be, you know, extracted, and therefore he came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very nicely it is said that he descends as the beloved son of Sachi. Sachi Devi is Yasoda Devi. So as Krishna comes as Yasoda's mother, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes as the son of Sachi. Sanatana Goswami uses this word, this, to say that this Lord Chaitanya, meaning this person who is present today, there's no doubt who he's referring to. He has his association. So Lord Chaitanya now goes on. Lord Chaitanya experiences what Krishna was unable to describe about the love of the gopis of Vrindavan. And this book, Brihadbhagavatamrita, is actually Lord Chaitanya's description through the words of Sanatana Goswami. Because as you will see, what is being described here is out of Krishna's own mouth. It is extraordinary because although everyone else is prepared to declare the glories of the Vrajvasis, nothing is more powerful and effective than when Krishna himself begins to describe these glories. That he himself is unable to reciprocate. He himself cannot even live physically in Vrindavan because of the extreme love that his gopis and the other residents feel for him. He himself, while living away from Vrindavan, is constantly brokenhearted. What Krishna himself was unable to describe about the love of the gopis of Vrindavan, and furthermore reveals this experience to his followers. This marks Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the supreme appearance of God. Now here is the statement. Here's why we say that he's the supreme appearance. Why? He experiences what Krishna was unable to describe about the love of the gopis, and he reveals this experience to his own followers. So if one wants to be a follower of Lord Chaitanya, then there is some indication that these two things have to be appreciated. There has to be some experience of this exalted love of the Vrajvasis, and one has to be able to explain it to others. Because these are the two, internal and external purpose for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. Internally to experience, and externally to preach it. He did preach it, even through Nam Sankirtan, because how one chants the holy name is all important. As I said on the opening day, the immigration official may say your name, it has no attraction, but when a beloved person says your name, it attracts your attention. So how we chant in kirtan, in japa, in Sankirtan depends on what is within our heart. Prabhupada says that it should be at least like an infant child calling for its mother. In other words, with the intensity to attract a mother's attention. It's interesting that when a child cries, every mother knows exactly that it's their child. They can always tell the sound of their child. So you should be like this, a child who Krishna surely knows, this is my child calling. I give an example, as elaborately I did in the past lectures, about the two disciples I have, Vidura and Manjari, very elderly disciples, a Gujarati couple. And She is 80 years old and he's 82 years old. He was in a wheelchair, couldn't walk. But then he had surgery and he decided that now I want to devote the remainder of my life directly in seva to Krishna. His son and family are living in Los Angeles. They're initiated. His son is initiated by Lokanath Maharaj. This Vidur and Manjari are my disciples. So they decided that we want to move to the temple and do seva. His son said, you shouldn't leave our home. It is not proper. People will talk against us saying that we did not maintain our father and mother. But he said, you know, Krishna is maintaining me. You cannot maintain me. Only Krishna can maintain me. So he said, call the temple president and make the arrangement. His son wouldn't do it because he said, it will be a disgrace to us and we all love you. We will take care of you. We'll bring you to the temple. He said, no, then I will call the temple president. So the temple president, Suvas Prabhu, made an arrangement, gave them a small apartment. And now every day, this couple, right, 82 years old, he gets up at 1 o'clock in the morning, right, spends 30 minutes massaging his body so it will function, and then goes into the deity room, arranges all the deity paraphernalia, the back of the deity pujari room. She does all the giwiks, 4 hours a day making giwiks and other types of arrangements. He does seva all day long. And, you know, this is their life. From 1 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock at night. And they're active as anything. And he said it was very difficult to do this, learning how to get up at 1 in the morning. And the first time he did it, he fell down on the street. 4 times he fell down alone on the street, sidewalk crossing to the temple. 1 time he broke his hand. But still he was so determined. So then I asked him, I saw him recently, and I asked him, what is your prayer? What can I do for you? Because I thought he can do for me. There's nothing I can do. But still, as his guru, I felt it was my duty. He said, just give me the one blessing that I'm asking from Krishna. He said, every day, every moment, I'm praying one thing. That Krishna will take me away and let me die right in the middle of when I'm serving him. I don't want to die anywhere else except directly in the midst of doing the seva, and that my wife should die within 1 hour of when I die, so that we can both go back and serve Krishna. He said, Krishna has 2 feet, I will serve one and she will serve the other. He said, my wife and I are simply praying like this every minute, and we expect that Krishna must fulfill our desire because we are his children. And why should a father not fulfill the desire sincerely posed by their children who are serving them? And when Krishna reciprocates, when Krishna sees such behavior, surely he must reciprocate. So I certainly pray that his desire is fulfilled. So we should know then what is the love of the gopis of Vrindavan. And we should know how to pray. My point is we should know how to pray with such feeling that our life depends upon it. We should be prepared to give our life to Krishna. When you are prepared in this way, then Krishna will take some notice. Because always remember that Krishna can give you anything. He can give you wealth. He can give you prestige. But he can also take these away. And he can take away your material happiness if he finds that it is blocking your spiritual progress. And he will do so if you even chant it a little bit sincerely. Therefore, the best thing is not to ask Krishna for all of these opulences, but ask him for the supreme opulence of his, you know, service. So that he gives you fully. Why is he hesitant to give it? Because obviously he says that there's no way for me to repay those who are my sold out servants. When Krishna gives himself, he's giving everything. And so he hesitates to do this. And he will train you and he will test you before he finally gives himself to you. The Lord has a higher regard for his devotees than for himself, Sanatana Goswami says. As he has said, Nirapeksham munim santam Nivairam samadarshanam anuvrajami aham nityam puyeyeti angri renubihi. With the dust of my devotees' lotus feet, I desire to purify the material worlds which are situated within me. Thus I always follow in the footsteps of my pure devotees, who are peaceful, free from all personal desire, wrapped in thought of my pastimes, devoid of feelings of enmity, and of equal disposition everywhere. This is from Bhagavatam 11:14-16. That the Lord thinks like this is vividly demonstrated by the avatara of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is a very nice statement from the Bhagavatam 11th canto. With the dust of my devotees' lotus feet, I desire to purify the material worlds. He could purify in so many ways. Why does he purify the dust of the with the dust of the lotus feet of his pure devotees? Because he considers them to be even more powerful than his own mercy. Therefore, it is said that there are three things which are very powerful: the dust from the feet of a pure devotee, the water which washes the feet of a pure devotee, and the remnants of food which are left by a pure devotee. Therefore, at any cost, we should try to become the servants of the servants of the servants of Krishna's pure devotees. Nothing is more valuable than this. And their qualities are here. They always follow. He says, I always follow in the footsteps of my pure devotees. I mean, just this is Bhaktivatsala. Bhaktivatsala means that the greatest opulence of God is that he is completely controlled by his devotees. Look at how Yasoda is able to bind up Krishna with ropes of love. Look at how the elderly gopis can tease Krishna and say so many words to him of teasing mood, which he says are better than the words of the Vedic mantras. Look at the power of his devotees and the way in which he becomes. It's Krishna Akarshani. The power of Prem Bhakti is Krishna Akarshani. It attracts Krishna. It captures him. It controls him. And of all of those who control him, he is most controlled by the gopis, and among them most controlled by Srimati Radharani. Like a wild elephant who is captured and bound, he is captured and bound by her love. Therefore, the mood of following is described. How we should follow and serve is described. That we have to recognize that if Radharani is able to completely attract and capture Krishna more than anyone else, we should not try to compete with her. So the followers of Rupa Goswami, they try to become the humble servants and maidservants of Srimati Radhika. Because they think that by serving her, they will be able to most easily please Krishna. Because she gives Krishna the greatest pleasure. So our line is in this mood. Since the time of the six Goswamis, they have glorified this position of Manjari Seva. And even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in Chaitanya Chaitamrita, sometimes takes that position. So this is our line. The difference between Lalita and Vishakha is that they are the friends of Srimati Radhika. But Rupa and Raghunath and Sanatana and other Goswamis don't try for the position of friendship as a gopi, like a sakhi, but they try to become the maid servants of these sakhis, and particularly of Srimati Radhika. So much of what they have written, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs, Narottam Das Thakur's songs, they're in this mood. And what is the quality? They have no interest to directly do seva or service to Krishna, but more they want to serve Krishna directly, but indirectly in a sense, through pleasing Srimati Radhika. And therefore you see in Vrindavan, Prabhupada says, everyone chants Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. Why? Because they want to, they think Radharani is Vrindavaneshwari. She's the controller of Vrindavan. And it is by her mercy alone that they will ultimately please Krishna. They'll serve her and she'll offer their service to Krishna. And that is what we do. When we chant Hare Krishna, we're going through Radha. We don't simply say Krishna's name first. We say Radha's name first in the form of the vocative Hare. O Srimati Radhika. We first pray to her. Bhakta Rupena means in the form of his own devotee, but there is also a second poetically disguised meaning. When Lord Krishna descends from his eternal kingdom as Lord Chaitanya, one of the companions he brings is born as the son of Sri Kumara in an old Brahmin family of renowned spiritual masters from the southern province of Karnataka. Karnataka is in South India. When Lord Krishna descends from his eternal kingdom as Gauranga, one of his companions he brings is born as the son of Sri Kumara in an old Brahmin family of renowned gurus from the southern province of Karnataka. This is Rupa Goswami. So the word Bhakta Rupena means Bhakta Rupa, means the brother of Sri Sanatan, namely Sri Rupa. In the more obvious literal sense, Bhakta Rupa means that Lord Chaitanya, but first of all speak about Rupa. So here, Sanatan Goswami glorifies his brother Rupa. Now, Rupa Goswami in many places glorifies his brother Sanatan Goswami, calling him his spiritual master. But Sanatan Goswami also sometimes refers to Rupa Goswami as his spiritual master, saying that it is by the grace or mercy of Rupa that he could understand and explain everything. This is not incompatible. It is possible for Vaishnavas to see each other like this. They're so much appreciative of what they get from each other that they regard each other as their Shiksha Gurus. Even one may say, you're my Shiksha Guru, the other one will say, you're my Shiksha Guru. And actually they may both be so, because Krishna's mercy can descend in this way. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that within his mind he sees all of his disciples as his guru. And so there's nothing wrong with that. And Krishna can teach in so many different ways. Gokshashwar Das Babaji Maharaj used to call Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati my Prabhu, my master. He used to refer to his disciple as my master. How very sweet and nice are the dealings. Of course, these gurus and disciples, they have high quality. Generally, one approaches a guru without understanding what it really means to have guru. And only later on do you get to understand what it means. But in some cases, the guru is highly qualified, the disciple is highly qualified, and they know very well what the meaning of guru-disciple relationship is. And this is the kind of instance. Gorkeshwar Das Babaji Maharaj and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and our Prabhupada. In the more obvious literal sense, Bhakta Rupa means Lord Chaitanya, taking the dress of a sannyasi, appears as a devotee of Krishna. In this role as a renounced mendicant, Sri Sachinandana disseminates the methods of relishing devotion to himself. He demonstrates the transcendental chanting of Krishna's names and how to worship and offer prayers to Krishna. By these activities, the otherwise inaccessible secrets of Prem Bhakti have been released throughout the world for the benefit of those who live in the spiritually fallen modern age. Otherwise inaccessible secrets of Prem Bhakti that could not have been understood were it not for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming as a Bhakti Rupa. Unless a devotee distributed these, Krishna would not reveal these things. That's why in this Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Krishna thanks Narad Muni, who began the whole process of making Krishna speak what he would not otherwise have spoken. Because Krishna keeps these things so closely within his heart, because he becomes overwhelmed himself by these ideas of how much he loves his devotees. But Narada Muni forced him to speak all of these things. Therefore, it is a fact that without the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself could not have manifest all that he did. Therefore, he brought his associates with him. God does not come alone. He comes with his associates. And similarly, Prabhupada thanked so many devotees who assisted him. He said, without your help, I could never have done what I have done. Therefore, I feel eternally, eternally grateful to all of you. So we are in a fortunate position if we are willing to sacrifice to spreading of the Krishna consciousness movement. We get the eternal thanks of Prabhupada and his predecessors. Prabhupada wrote in many letters to me that my Guru Maharaj will bless you for this. He told me if we build a 25-story temple in Mayapur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur will personally come down and take you back to Godhead. You know, so if we work for these types of missionary goals, we get tremendous benefit. We get all the mercy and blessings of Prabhupada and the predecessors. Therefore, Prabhupada was pushing us so much, not just to relish Krishna Katha ourselves, but to distribute it to others. Both things have to be done. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has an external, internal. And external doesn't mean mundane. It means external. Take it just that way. One is what he thinks inside, the other is what he does outside. But both are equally important, and both must be pushed forward. You must learn to dive deeply in your sadhana, and at the same time vigorously preach. And the two nourish each other and further each other's purpose. They go hand in hand. Srila Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has eloquently depicted Lord Chaitanya's merciful gift to the world. Kalannastam bhakti yogam nicham yaha paduskartam krishna chaitanya nama avirbhutastasya padaravinde gadam gadam liyatam chitta pringaha. Let my consciousness, which is like a honeybee, take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has just now appeared as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to teach the ancient system of devotional service rendered to himself. This system had almost been lost due to the influence of time. Nice verse. Kalannastam bhakti yogam nijam ya praduskartam Krishna Chaitanya nama avirbhutastasya padharavinde gadam gadam liyatam chitta bringaha. Like a honeybee, bringer. A honeybee, chitta bringer. The mind is like a honeybee. Taking shelter, he said, let my consciousness, let my chitta, let my consciousness be like a honeybee, taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, who has now appeared as Sri Satchinandana, to teach the ancient system of bhakti rendered to himself. Nothing new. He's teaching what is there internally, though never rarely understood, but what was there from ancient times. This system had almost been lost due to the influence of time. So we'll stop here and ask if anyone has any questions or comments.
Maharaj, I was wondering if you mind giving us your understanding of Lord Chaitanya's spreading of love of Godhead, because he's making the rarest thing very easily available, and I was wondering whether everybody will actually avow themselves to that mercy, or whether it's just that some will appreciate it and some will be.
How many people get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu depends on what we do. Prabhupada said, in other words, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu works through his angas, his limbs, and his immediate limbs are his associates and weapons, and in their physical absence, it extends through each and every one of us. So how far the Krishna consciousness movement will spread, Prabhupada says it's going to spread. It's a question only of who gets credit for spreading. But it depends upon us. In other words, for example, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati had many disciples. One of them took up the spreading on a worldwide basis. But similarly, Prabhupada has many disciples, and they're working very vigorously. And they have, in turn, many disciples who are similarly working very vigorously. Gradually, we see that all over the world, people are at least getting some sprinkling of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's hardly a soul on the planet Earth who has not heard about the Hare Krishna movement, or received a book, or gotten some prasadam, or heard the holy name. The more we vigorously propagate Krishna consciousness, the more that mercy will be spread. That's our business. That is our duty. It's a family business, Prabhupada said, to distribute his books. That's a simple statement. Right. Go door to door, like Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur. Knock on every door of every town and every village, and say, please take the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If everybody does that, to whatever degree they can, surely Lord Chaitanya will be pleased, and if Lord Chaitanya is pleased, temples will be built very easily, if we preach. There's a connection. The temple of the heart, the temple of the mind is there. Before you can build a physical temple, you have to have the temple of the heart, the temple of the mind. Not just a physical edifice. You have to know how to worship within in order to worship without. So first of all, purify your own heart and minds. Then the deity will appear in the temple. Another question?
The principles of Varnashrama Dharma, is it necessary to be followed for those who are following Bhagavad Dharma? Bhagavad Dharma is above all.
It's not necessary, but it's helpful. Is the principles of Bhagavad Dharma is itself transcendental and sufficient and requires no help. But Varnashram Dharma is nevertheless very helpful. We see that if one does not act properly in terms of worldly duties, it can disturb their spiritual life very much. If one is liberated, means if one is a Siddha, Purush, then these things don't matter. Varnashram Dharma then doesn't matter. He may or may not then follow Varnashram Dharma according to his liking. But for one who is still in bondage, then Varnashram Dharma is so helpful. Water, if it is guided, the water will, you know, very nicely and quickly move to its location. But if there's no channel through which the water goes. It just spreads out and goes anywhere and everywhere. And you cannot use it to water the land, the field. Therefore, they built in India some hump in the earth to make the water go. Or fire. Fire is very effective for cooking. But if you don't know how to control fire, then it burns you. So Varnashram Dharma is a system of control to help us to direct our energy for service to Krishna. We serve Krishna through Varnashram Dharma.
Varnashram Dharma is not to be neglected.
No. It should not be neglected. It should not be. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never neglected Varnashram Dharma.
But there's one interpretation that Sarvadharman Parityajya Mahamekam Sharanam Bhajat.
Only in the highest sense. In the highest sense. Sarvadharma Parityajya means
discard of Varnashram Dharma, everything.
Yeah, so in the highest sense. In the highest sense. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking with Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy was the governor of Madras state during the time of Mahaprabhu. And they had a discussion. So in that discussion, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to hear what is the highest dharma of all. In that sense, he rejected everything below it. Even when he said he rejected everything up to the point of discussion between about the rasas with Krishna. Everything else he said is superfluous, it's external. But why did he say this? Because he wanted to glorify the highest principles. Therefore, sometimes Krishna says, where he says sarva dhammam paritya, it means ultimately, at the fag end of your life, Varnashram Dharma means nothing. When you're at your dying moment, what is the use of Varnashram Dharma? It will do nothing for you. If you're in the mood of Varnashram Dharma at the end of your life, you will take birth again. That will not help. There is a statement in Bhagavad, in the beginning of Bhagavad, that even if one does one's Varna and Ashram duties perfectly, but does not develop a taste for hearing, then Shrama Evahi Kevalam. It is a waste of time. If you only do Varnashram Dharma, but do not develop a taste for hearing the glories of God, then that Varnashram Dharma is incomplete. At the same time, if you just say, I will only hear the glories of God, and you neglect Varnashram Dharma, very rarely will you be successful. Because so many irreligious things will happen. Adharmic things will be done. So, we, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, our Maha Guru Guru's Guru, he says that until the time of liberation, one should observe Varnashram Dharma. Until a person becomes Jivan Mukta. Jivan Mukta, liberated within this lifetime, freed from all material desires, then he should still do Varnashram Dharma. Is it clear then?
But in the personal life, we are not accepting that Jivan Mukta, like this Mayavadis.
No, that Jivan Mukta is different than our Jivan Mukta. When we say Jivan Mukta, we don't mean becoming one with God. Jivan Mukta means for us to become free from all material desires and only desire to serve God. We have a different definition of Jivan Mukta, not like the Mayavadis. But we also accept that there's possibility of becoming liberated while living. We don't say that the only liberation comes after death. We say liberation comes from material identification with the body. When you can give up all identity with this body and simply think of yourself as Krishna Das, purely, without any bodily identification, that is Jivan Mukta for us. Because you're already liberated, even before dying. It is possible to enter into Krishna Lila internally, even within this lifetime. Internally. And we have many examples in our line of persons who did this. Srinivas Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, within their bhajan, they entered into Krishna Lila. These persons, therefore, are called considered Jivan Mukta. They are liberated within this lifetime. Not that they become one with God, but they enter into the lila or service of God while still living. That type of person has no interest with Varnashram Dharma. They may do it or they may not do it. That is their sweet will. But there is no fault on their part. That's why in Bhagavad Gita, I'm not giving you the Sanskrit verse, but I forget it now. But in Bhagavad Gita, there's one verse that says that a person who is liberated, maybe somebody knows this verse, a person who is liberated makes no fault even if he ignores the rules and regulations of Shastra. He overcomes the rules and regulations of Scripture. Normally, you must follow rules and regulations of Scripture. But a person who becomes liberated, it does not matter for such a person. But we cannot imitate that in the state of bondage. We can only have that position if we're actually liberate. Madhaji, you are raising your hand. Yes. But. You're thanking me, but. I'm not going to thank you for what. But. What's the but?
And, okay, instead of saying but.
Oh, and. You change it to and. That's better. That's more kind. Thank you. And. Yes. Yes, there's a great opportunity. I don't think that... of course, one can. You could do cooking for the deity within your mind and in words. Like we see Bab Seva. You can see the South Indian Brahmana mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, who cooked sweet rice within his mind and then put his finger in the sweet rice, found it was too hot and got burnt. But actually it was only cooking in the mind. Then he looked at his finger and it was burnt. But how many of us, if we cook sweet rice in the mind and put our finger in it, will find that their finger got burnt? However, if you cook sweet rice in the kitchen here and offer it to the deity and first put your finger in, it may get burnt. So, first of all, we should learn how to do this seva to the deity in reality. You know, not virtual reality, real reality. You know, not some duplicate reality, but this reality. This is the reality. We are living here with this, with our center being the deity's lives. The deity's life should be our center. But we should also recognize deity in the hearts of all living beings. So there should be, Prabhupada says, Pancha Ratrihi Vidi and Bhagavat Vidi. Two types of rules are to be followed. The Pancha Ratrik rules for the seva of the Murti should be done, and Bhagavat Marg should also be followed. The preaching of Bhagavatam.
Yes.
Both things have to be done. Prabhupada said, like a train goes on two tracks. So we have two tracks. This purifies us and pleases Krishna. And with a purified heart, we can go and preach nicely. So both things must be done simultaneously. If anybody lives in this community, they should be doing some seva for the deity. This is Krishna's living here. How can you not? Sometimes people think when their guru comes, they do seva for their guru, but they don't do seva for the deity. But he's the original guru. This guru, your guru, is only the extension of the guru who's on the altar, Krishna. So I find it hard to understand how some little service each person in this community cannot do. They can each do something. Once a week, twice a week, do some seva, whatever it may be, making garlands, or if you're twice initiated, you can do other things. Somehow do seva for the deity, clean the temple floor, whatever it may be, lead some kirtans, be here for the temple and for the program. Try to do something. At the same time, don't only think God is on the altar. He's also within the heart of every living being. Therefore, you must preach this message. How do you preach? Then you decide through the people you meet, either at work or going out on Harinam parties or distributing prasadam or go out for some books distribution. Try to find different ways to extend Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. I did my seva for the president and his wife, preaching their message. Are you satisfied? I do it myself in my own home where I'm staying. I have Gornitai deities. I do every day some seva. I dress them, put them to rest at night. I always do seva. I always like to worship deities. Without worshipping deities, how do you stay purified? At the same time, only worshipping deities, you remain a kanista, unless you're on a very high level. There are some pujaris on a very high level that are not kanista, but they're directly seeing the deity as Krishna himself. If you can do that, then fine, then you have arrived at where you want to be. But for most of us, we need to preach as well as to do deity seva. Okay, I think we can stop here. Panja kalpa tadu vajjah, pipa sindhu bihi vajjah, padita nam havane bio, vaishnave bio namo namaha. Vaishnavrindu ki jai.